Today's reading is from Isaiah. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who works for those who wait for him. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, good evening again. Merry Christmas to you all. I have told a few people this evening, and I will tell you the same. This time tomorrow, we will be getting ready to board for our cruise, our Disney cruise in Orlando. Amen. So I'll say this again. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Won't you join me for a word of prayer? Dear God, I'm so amazed at the ways that you move. This has been a long year, and yet time and time again, you have moved within this place and this moment. And that is our prayer again, that you would speak through us, you would speak to us, for who knows the needs and the questions that everyone brings here today, and yet you alone can answer each one of those and attend to each one of our needs all at the same time. So we thank you for this moment, and we thank you for this occasion. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Amen. So I want to begin with a serious question today, serious question. And I will be able to judge your faith by this question. Have you ever seen the show Undercover Boss? Have you ever seen the show Undercover Boss? Well, if you haven't, the premise of the show is about high-power CEOs of very well-known companies that go undercover or incognito, if you will, in their own company to see how things are operated in the normal everyday stores with normal everyday employees ran by normal everyday people. Now, most of the time, they run into these employees with these amazing stories and these gut-wrenching context and backstories. And most of the time, they go above and beyond, not knowing that this new coworker or this new customer is actually the CEO. And after the reveal, after it's revealed to them that this is the CEO, most of the time they are gifted with these extravagant gifts because they've gone above and beyond in the face of this boss who's gone undercover. Most of the time they would say things like, because you did so well, we're going to pay for your kids' tuition. Or you're doing so well and we know you had these medical problems, and so we're going to cover all of your medical bills. And so you see these great stories of what happens to these ordinary people working these ordinary jobs because the CEO comes, and it's a wonderful story. Sort of, right? Because the craziest part of the show is the disguise. Because normally these CEOs, it's like Clark Kent when he wears his glasses, right? Normally these CEOs, they go in and that's what they change. They normally put on something like a hat, or they put on like a dark colored wig with sunglasses on. And it's very clear in the show that this is probably the first time the CEO has met this employee. And this is the first time this employee has met this CEO. And literally, some have been working there for years. They've spent all of their time. They've spent their weekends. And they've had their check signed by the CEO. And yet, when the CEO comes to the store, they don't recognize them. They don't recognize them. They don't recognize her, right? As if to suggest that having the CEO at the store with the normal employees, with the normal jobs, is sort of out of the norm. And it's a clear indication, if you watch this so long enough, it's a clear indication that there is so much distance between the CEO in disguise and the normal everyday worker that they've come to be with. But truth is, it's how some people run their companies. And again, it's hard to be everywhere at the same time. But think about it. It's not how God operates in the world. God is not some detached deity that stands back and just watches what happens. God is not some sovereign CEO that just likes to stand back and doesn't know us by name or faces. But God literally wants to know everything about our lives. God wants to be intimately involved with each and every one of us. God wants to know when you're nervous about getting back on the dating scene. God wants to know when you feel overworked. God wants to hear about the coworker that you can't stand. God wants to hear about how nervous you are when you're driving on E and you run into rush hour traffic. God wants to know. God wants to know about your fear of failures, your fear of roller coasters, and fear of speaking in public. God wants to be so intimately involved in each one of our lives. God wants to be involved when we get that first job, the first paycheck, when you buy the first home, when you move into the new job. God wants to be involved when you get baptized, when you join the church, or even when you feel the lump in your breast. Right? God wants to be actively involved in every part of our lives. I think in some ways there is this both-and-ness to God, the God that is both far and near at the same time. A God that is big enough to see everything and yet compassionate enough to know each and every one of our problems. God is expansive enough to be everywhere and yet intimate enough to be here. God is God enough to be mysterious so that nothing could ever contain or that we can't really know God, and yet God is at the same time relatable and wants to be known. We find this God that is the both and-ness, a God that is so far, so out there, somewhere hard to describe, and yet a God that shows up in a manger. I believe this Christmas story gives us a great perspective into the character of God and how God wants to operate in the world. Our text this Sunday morning. My mind is just geared towards Sunday morning. Our text, what is today? Tuesday? Our text this Tuesday evening begins with a plea from God. Begins with a plea for God to come down. Begins with a plea for God to come down. And maybe right there is just our first reminder that with God, love comes down, or rather, love descends. Because the book of Isaiah is perfect for this, because throughout Isaiah, we find these prophetic sayings 700 years before Jesus has even come into the world. See if these somewhat sound familiar to you. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Or for us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. To this God that they speak of, there is an expectation that this God can and will come down. Perhaps Christ's arrival is less about us living up and more about God's willingness to come down. And I believe in some ways that's why their call to come down spoke of their inability to live up to these high religious standards. Remember, in the book of Isaiah, they have gone through so much. They've been exiled. They've mistreated each other. They've mistreated themselves. They have mistreated God. All throughout this entire book, they're always getting it wrong. They can never live up to these standards, to these religious standards. They're always getting it wrong. And let's be honest, we're always getting it wrong. Even the best of us, it's hard to live up to the expectations of other people. It's just hard living up. In fact, you can help me prove my point. Because in just a few days, some of you are going to do something crazy called New Year's resolutions. And like every year, you're going to decide to do something transformational about your life, and 2020 is going to be the year that you finally get it right. 2020 is going to be the year where you get the gym membership and you are going to be recommitted to your health because the gym membership is giving you a great deal and this is the Lord working on your behalf. And so you're gonna go and get the gym membership, and on January the 17th, you're gonna get a reminder that you haven't used the gym membership yet. And you're going to be looking towards 2021 to make other New Year's resolutions because it's hard living up to the expectations that we set for ourselves, let alone the expectations that other people have set for us, and let alone the expectations that we think have been set upon us by God, because it's hard living up. But that's not what God challenges us to do. God is reminding us that God is coming down, that God is descending down, because love descends, because in some ways it can be a directional detriment for us to be always living up and always failing. But now God is making a directional commitment to us to come down. Think about the kind of language that we use. We use this kind of language every day. When someone is cool, they're easygoing and relatable, we say they are down to. When we see authority figures mingling with the crowds, we say that they are down to earth. When we see preachers wearing skinny jeans and fitted shirts, we say they are down to earth, right? Because, now watch it on the flip side. Because when people seem unapproachable and unrelatable, we say they are stuck. Because let's be honest, it's hard living up to other people's expectations. And yet even in our own language, we have this expectation of what is relatable is what comes down to earth. 2,000 years ago, God comes down to a young couple engaged to be married and used them to bring a savior into the world. 2,000 years ago, God came down to an elderly barren couple to bear a son that would prepare the way for Christ. 2,000 years ago, God came down so that the shepherds could serve as witnesses to his glory. We spend the majority of our lives trying to live up to our expectations, to others' expectations, and the whole time God is committing to come down, because that's what love does. Love does not demand that we climb these impossible moral ladders, but Jesus reminded us 2,000 years ago that real love, divine love, powerful love, is love that meets us right where we are. It is love that is willing to come down from the confines of heaven and to meet us right where we are. Not only does love descend, but love connects. Love connects. Love continues to search for connections. This week, my eight-year-old son, who is extremely inquisitive, we came to the church and he found his newly found Kindle Fire at home. He had it a while ago. Any of you who got kids know what I'm talking about. He had it but lost it and found it again, and it became like it was new all over again. And so we came back here to the church, and he was amazed that without putting the Wi-Fi code in, that things started back up like it was normal again. And he's the type of young man that wants to know how things work in the background. And so he asked me, he said, Dad, how is it that this whole internet thing works? How is it that the church could recognize my kinder fire without me even putting the information in? Now, you have to understand, I know a little bit about theology. I know a little bit about the Bible, but it's very hard trying to be very relevant and relatable talking about technological advancements and the internet to the 8-year-old, but I decided to give it a shot. So I tried to somewhat remind him that there are some, that in some ways there are these signals here at St. Luke's. And when you come in, without you putting anything in your phone, there are these signals that's trying to connect with people's devices. People come in with phones, and they come in with iPads and iPhones and Kindle Fires, and there's these signals all over, and they're trying to connect. They're trying to connect. And so without you turning it on, it tries to connect. Even when, if you think you have left it at home, there are still signals out there that are still trying to connect. And so because you had some information in your Kindle Fire from months ago, it remembered it, and it was still trying to connect. And I told him, you can lose it again if you want to, and you can come back to St. Luke's a year from now, and as long as they haven't changed any of the information, that same signal will still be trying to reconnect with you. Because that's what it does. Anybody who ever has a device, that's the sole purpose, is it's always looking for some connection. And truth is, as I started to explain it to him, it started to make sense to me. Not in terms of technology, but in terms of how we talk about and communicate our faith with one another. Because when God comes down, that is the sole purpose of what God is trying to do. God is continuously trying to search for connections. Now, mind you, when Isaiah is writing this, the people have not gotten it all together. And 2,000 years ago, when Christ comes, it's not predicated on us reaching perfection. Christ comes with this large display of love. Christ comes down long before we ever went to church. Christ comes down long before we ever got baptized. Christ comes down long before we ever joined the small group, long before we ever preached a sermon. Christ made a commitment to come down because what Christ is looking for is connection, and that connection is not predicated on perfection. What Christ desires and what Christ wants and needs from us is just to be in relationship with us. So even when we've turned our signal off, Christ is still trying to connect. Even years, if we have turned our backs on God or turned our backs on the church or turned our backs on each other, the signal never goes off. That Christ continues to search until there's a willing connection. Because as I told my son, when you put the proper password in, it's just letting the church know, it's just giving the church permission to know that you want to have a connection. And that's all Christ wants to know today is, are we willing to have a connection? Because Christ has made a move for us long before we made a move for Christ. Love descends. Love keeps searching. And love has to be real. Love has to become flesh. It's got to be something that you can touch, something that you can feel. It's got to be something tangible. I mean, that's what the people in Isaiah, that's what they were expecting when they said, let the heavens open, let the earth shake, let the mountains shake. I mean, these are some high expectations. Because they are expecting that when the sovereignty of God comes down, then surely the heavens have to move. Surely the earth has to shake. Surely the ground below us is going to have to move, because that's what it's like when God comes down. I was challenged by that belief when this week, last Sunday, I preached the 9:30 traditional service and the 11 o'clock contemporary service. And after the 9:30 service, a woman came up to me. She was in tears, and she was visibly, emotionally connected to whatever happened in service. And she reminded me, and she came and somewhat introduced herself and said, "Pastor, I was supposed to be here today. You don't know everything about my story, but I was supposed to be here today, and I'm so glad I was." She was in tears. She was crying. I didn't ask why. She just said, "I want you to continue to pray for my family. There was someone here at the church who invited me, and I'm so glad I came because this message, this service was just for me." And she was crying the whole time. She didn't get into her story, and I just told her, listen, the church will be here for you. We'll continue to pray for you. Let me know if there's anything that you need. We didn't think too much of it, but then on Tuesday, I was sharing with the team. I said, "You know, this past Sunday, I don't think the sermon went terribly well at 9:30. I wish I could invite the whole congregation back at 9:30 and give them the same sermon I gave at 11 o'clock once I had worked out all the kinks and bugs." And so right after that, I went back to my office, opened up my email, and there was a message from the congregation member that had invited this woman to church. And he was giving us sort of the rundown or the backdrop and the context of this coworker so that we could understand her story and so that we could also understand her testimony. Because this was a Tuesday, and apparently she had come into his office that day. She had come into his office really smiling ear to ear. And what she said to him was, "I came to church on Sunday and had a great experience." And this is when he kind of gave us the back story that she came to church on Sunday because during the time of Thanksgiving, her son had overdosed twice. Her son had overdosed twice in the time of Thanksgiving, and he had been in a coma ever since Thanksgiving. And ever since every day since Thanksgiving, she had been praying. Pastor Regina had gone to visit her son in the hospital to pray for him. Kevin Davis, who is the director of our visitation ministry, went and visited her and the son as well. And nothing seemed to be happening until that week. And she said, "Sunday I came to church, and then Monday I got a call from the hospital that my son had woken up from the coma and asked for me by name." Now, I don't know about you, but that's God becoming real. Now, last Sunday, did the heavens shake? Did you feel it? No, of course you didn't feel it. Did the mountains move? Absolutely not. Did the floors beneath you shake? Absolutely not. But does that mean that the presence of God was any less real because the heavens didn't open, because the mountains didn't tremble, and because the floors beneath us didn't shake? Does that make it any less real? Absolutely not. 2,000 years ago, mountains didn't move, the floors beneath them didn't tremble, but God's love and God's word and God's power became flesh. And perhaps that is the challenge and the hope of Christmas, to recognize the power of God's love being manifest in our lives, even if it doesn't come in ways that we expect. Even if the mountains don't tremble, even if the earth doesn't shake, even if the floors beneath us doesn't move, God comes down, God still searches, and God's love is just as real today as it was 2,000 years ago. In fact, if you don't ask me, if you don't believe me, just ask the woman whose son woke up after being in a coma for weeks. Amen? Amen. Amen.